Dad, Jimmy, Timmy, Timmy, oh, Timmy, Timmy, Jimmy, Jimmy, Timmy, 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 Jimmy, 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 Timmy, Timmy.
Welcome into show 30 here on the Puckologist on Fieldtown USA. As always, I am your host, AJ underscore Strong, and with me on one side of the U.S. from the lovely 615, I believe. Do you have a honk for me this time, Rock?
No, I have a honk a honk of burning love, though.
And a little closer to me in the 408, Mr. Hockey Jerk.
Let's all take a moment of silence for AJ, who has to respect that our Lord and Savior Mikhail Bodker scored a goal.
Yeah. Let's let's just start planning that parade tomorrow. So
that's all I'm saying.
All right, let's get into it, kids. The Sharks have amassed themselves a record of 7-5, good for 14 points. They have climbed third in the Pacific Division, but only 2 points out from a shot at second in the division and winning four of their last five. Perhaps the division is finally starting to correct itself a little bit. Unfortunately, Vegas is still up there, but falling quickly. I don't care what anybody says. I'm calling the market is correcting itself. So, since we last left you, the Sharks played four games. They lost 2-1 in Boston, then picked up a win in was only the second time in franchise history in Buffalo. Figure that one out. They get home and pick up a 3-2 win versus the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then very quickly picked up a 4-1 victory over the very physical Predators. If you saw that game, you know what I'm talking about. So let's get into that Bruins game real fast here. The Sharks, of course, give another rookie his very first NH goal, and this time it comes and the shorthanded variety to Danton Heinen. Good for you, pal. And to, of course, pour gasoline on that fire, he would score his second NHL career goal later in that game. Sharks went 1-for-6 on the power play in this one. They did go 2-for-2 on the PK. Brendan Dillon. There is no A in Brendan, people. Brendan Dillon with quite possibly his best performance in teal. And for those of you who know me, you know that it pains me to admit that just a little bit. But before we get to that, we must call out the elephant at the garden. And that is the fact that the refs blew one of the most ridiculous calls on the planet. This is just, I'm still dumbfounded by this. Nobody is around Khudobin, and he just happens to fall backward, knock off the net while the Sharks have possession in that end. Nobody sees it. Four guys in stripes, evidently. Nobody saw it except Logan Couture, who was telling everybody within shouting distance. And if you look up the rule, somebody knocks off the net less than 2 minutes where a penalty cannot be fully served, then the Sharks should have gotten a penalty shot on that one. So anyway, I know that Rocket is dying to tell you how beautiful her boy Brendan was. Take it away on the Bruins game.
You know, I love that everybody likes to dump on Brendan Dillon because it just makes me feel like I made the right choice in not dumping on the guy. I liked his presence on ice from the moment I saw him play. And I decided from a very early stage in my Sharks fandom that he would be, quote unquote, my guy. He goes out and he works every second of every shift he does. He practices with a work ethic that is cleaner and more honest than I think most professionals are capable of. He's genuinely a great person. And to see him rewarded with, you know, the stats on the ice is I think it's well-deserved. He deserves it. It's about time. And he's definitely made strides of progress with his game in the last couple of years, and he continues to go forward. And I believe it was Ian Reid who at one point in time was like, you know, defensemen develop later. It takes longer to develop defensemen. And I think this is a good case in that. I mean, he's 26, 27, 26. So it takes a little bit later to develop good defensemen.
I hear you. Now we'll hear from Hockey Jerk, who tells you how bad Brendan Dillon. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, man. Tell us about the game at the Garden, buddy.
Well, okay, so who do you want me to talk about? Because in the game we had Brendan Dillon and Brendan Dillon.
That is true. We'll go with Brendan Dillon, who, by the way, will turn 27 on November 13th. So his birthday is coming up.
There you go.
Hey, now. So Brendan Dillon, I'll be honest, first year on the team and even the second year on the team, I was not a fan. I thought we gave up too much for him. I thought we re-signed him for too much. I thought our expectations were way too high. But you know what? Every summer that he has gone back to wherever he lives and has trained, his slap shot has gotten better. His skating has gotten better. His patience has gotten better. His reaction time has gotten better. He is the prototypical, you know, guy you take a chance on. You know, you pick him up and you take a chance on him being not an impact player, but, you know, a good player for your team. And, you know, he's gotten better, like I said, gotten better every year. And, I mean, if you're really missing Jason Demers now, I'm sorry to say that you're in the minority.
Well, now, now you say, you talk about giving up too much to get Dillon. What did they give up besides Demers?
A third round pick.
Okay. Then that is a little bit of a costly spend.
Although, as history says, and as our off-air shouting matches say, the Sharks aren't very good with third round picks, so.
This is true. Not a great history. I'll be the first to totally admit. I'm the first. Everybody knows this. I'm not the biggest Dillon fan. I'm coming around. It took a little time to get there. It's been a slow burn. But I still look at what he's paid. And for a 4-5, 5-6 guy, whatever you want to call him, if you compare him to other teams, that slot, it is a slight overpayment at this point. But if he continues to, you know, keep bringing it, if he continues to have games like he did in Beantown, then maybe we're looking at a time where we can all say, you know what, the Sharks really got the most out of that deal.
Hey, so, he's no Roman Polak, but, you know, he's okay.
That's right.
And this is something else to think about, too. If the Sharks are able to turn Brendan Dillon into something that's more valuable than what they gave up for him, isn't that still considered a win?
Depends on what that third pick ends up being. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, no, I would give you that. I would give you that. And the final thing I want to touch on with this Boston game, Joe Thornton scored on a manned net in this one. Maybe it's just happened because he was in Boston, his old stomping grounds, but either way, something to note, because it doesn't happen very often lately. So we move on to Buffalo, where the Sharks do pick up a 3-2 win. One of those rare ones up in, oh, just the boonies of New York. Arundel getting the rarest of starts again, of course. Donskoy takes the first penalty, but you want to talk about, you know, I want to say polishing a turd. That penalty, Donskoy ends up coming out of the box at the perfect time when former Shark Matt Tennyson misplays the puck on the sideboards. Donskoy takes it in for a breakaway and drills it. It was gorgeous. Ryan, oh my God, Yoki Ryan in this one had an amazing defensive play, breaking up essentially a 3-on-1 after Bodker made a horrible pass, and Burns followed that by getting crossed up, leaving Ryan out to dry, and just spectacular play. Starfish defense was not activated during this situation, so it was awesome. The fun part about this, of course, was Jack Eichel scored and then had his goal taken away for goalie interference on a challenge from PDB. Which made me go, is it opposite day? Isn't it usually the Sharks get one taken away in Buffalo, hockey jerk?
Yeah, it was very interesting. I mean, usually the Sharks come into Buffalo and nothing is going right for them. They generally look uninterested and they can't even make the simplest of plays. But as we recall last week, I said that the curse of Buffalo was dead. And even though it took the Sharks 57 and a half minutes to score the winning goal, they still scored it, which obviously is always good. It was a good game. It was nice to see Jonas Donskoy continue the fiery tear of a performance that he's been on, which kind of made me think, maybe two separated shoulders and a broken foot can hold someone back. I mean, who knew?
True that.
And like you said, Joakim Rönn, I mean, keeps making it very difficult on the coaching staff and the general manager to make a split second decision once people start to get healthy. So it's gonna be this roster is gonna be very interesting in the next month or so, I would say.
Absolutely. And just to be fair, the people that live in Buffalo, they're disinterested and don't want to be there either. Rocket Couture did. I mean, he remains hot. Do you think part of it also has to do with the fact that now he has a pretty solid winger in Tomas Hertl with him constantly now building that chemistry?
It could be. I think it's consistency is the key with these lines. I mean, I do know, of course, they all have to get used to playing with each other and whatever combinations and certain shifts, but it genuinely helps to just lay off the line blender every now and again and let these kids find a groove and a rhythm. So yeah, I think so.
Sweet. And in this one, the Sharks did go once again, solid PK, 3 for 3. Oh no, I'm sorry. They went 0 for 3 on the power play. My bad. Read the stats wrong. They went 4 for 5 on the PK, but I believe this might have been the only power play goal they allowed on their entire trip back east. So, I mean, PK's on fire for right now. We love that. Was there something else significant about that? Well, I think it was kind of like Donskoy starting to feel his mojo going. So, I mean, we've heard a lot of talk about how like when are we going to start getting that tertiary scoring and from below? And you see Donskoy get it. You see Carlson and Tierney get in on Meier. So a lot of people on the score sheet for this one. Jerk, did you want to say something?
Yeah, you mentioned how Aaron Dell got the start surprisingly. I thought it was very interesting, and I actually looked into this myself. That game against Buffalo was Aaron Dell's third start, and
Yes.
last season he didn't get his third start until I believe the game before Thanksgiving. So
Wow.
it appears as though old boy Pete is starting to realize that maybe he's got an okay guy back there behind Martin Jones.
And I think what makes that more surprising is that the schedule so far has been kind of wide open. I mean, you've seen a game where it's they play Wednesday, then they have Thursday, Friday off. Then they play Saturday. Then they had 5 days off, and then another 3 days off. So it's been very sparse especially when you consider last year how everything was so compressed because of the World Cup.
Well, and that's what I was going to say is for how many years that people complained about compressed schedules, whether it was World Cup or Olympics or, lockouts or whatever, this season, like you said, it appears to be spread out nicely. And we haven't even factored in the league mandated bye weeks that are coming, I believe, in January.
Yeah, no, that's a lot. And when was the last time you saw the Sharks go through an entire season and only play, not even only play within their division once, but only within their conference once? The only Western team they've seen so far is LA for game two of their schedule. So.
We'll see you in Vancouver, June. I screwed that up. We'll see you in
Conference
June, Vancouver. I screwed
didn't
that
they
up.
didn't they see conference wise? No, Western Conference. The Predators are Western Conference.
Yeah, but that they played the Predators first day of November. I'm saying the entire month of October, they only saw somebody from the West once. So we'll see you in Vancouver, June. Sharks.
I'm never gonna live that down, Derek.
No. Yeah, baby. You can forget that home and home BS, buddy.
It's all right. It's all circular. It'll come back around.
That's right.
Okay.
So what yeah, the promotional, I mean, we all saw this coming down Main Street for the longest time. The return of Patrick Marleau with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the Sharks get themselves a 3-2 victory in what turned out to be a decent game. I don't know that it was spectacular, but it was decent. Opening presentation from Marleau, leading to like a 2-minute standing ovation was very nice. And this one, the thing that actually stood out, and maybe this is why I'm kind of going, it wasn't like the biggest game to write home about, but the Sharks didn't commit a penalty for just the 14th time in their history. And maybe that's why I'm kind of like, well, okay, maybe they could have committed one and had fun, probably would have led to a shorthanded chance. But, and this one, Tim Heed heating up, getting his second goal, also getting an assist on the opening goal from Pavelski. So, God, I'm liking Tim Heed. Rocket, I'm sure you enjoyed the return of Marlowe.
Yeah,
There's so
like
much made out of it.
other people have pointed out on Twitter, Sharks fans don't seem to realize that Patty wasn't traded.
Oh my God, please elaborate on this.
Mean, he left in free agency. He left of his own accord. He was not traded without any say in his future, kids.
Oh
Let
my
that sink
Lord.
in.
For the
Dad didn't get thrown out. Dad left.
For those of you who are unaware, there was a video going around on the Twitter machine talking to some Sharks fans about what Marlowe meant to them and Marlowe memories, yada yada yada. And there was a girl that was interviewed talking about, oh, I was really sad when I found out we traded him. Again, as Rocket said, he was not traded. So moving on, which probably that girl should do. Jerk, we know how excited you were for the return of Marlowe. Oh, here we go, the big sigh. Oh
Okay,
boy.
so first of all, can y'all hear this? Can you hear that? That's my giveaway from that game.
I was about to say, is that
Second.
bag of stuff you're holding hostage for AJ?
No, that's my giveaway from the Maple Leafs game.
Oh.
What the hell was
I'm
what
about
was the
to.
giveaway?
Okay, you clearly did not see my tweet.
Evidently not. I was at the game and I didn't get anything. Although I think you got an 8x10, so something's wrong with this. What are you talking about?
We'll chat later.
Here we go.
Slide into the DMs.
Yeah, slide into my DMs. And kids, if I get lucky, his giveaway may become my giveaway. Go ahead, jerk.
So, now I would like to preface this by saying that I like Patrick Marleau as a player. I think he was good for the franchise. I think he was hugely important and absolutely should come back when he retires.
But I mean, there's
But
no Vancouver in
he's.
June.
I'm gonna murder you.
You.
But. I'm gonna make Mikhail Bodker drive to your house and shoot pucks at your forehead.
Well, then AJ has nothing to worry about.
Oh
Hi-yo.
man, getting fiery on this one. I mean, Patrick Marleau, as much as I like him, he there was a point in time whenever he was my favorite player, but like Rocket said, he's moved on. He's trying new things, and if you want to play him a clip when he comes back, go for it. But I just making it a big production, I think was kind of lame. I mean, obviously you want to get butts in seats, and if you've heard this podcast before, you know that we all want butts in seats. But at the same time, I don't make it something that it's not. Patrick Marleau got the ovation, they played the clip, and then that was it. as soon as he got his ovation, like nobody said anything else about Patrick Marleau at all. Like it was just, okay, game time. Cool. We honored Patrick Marleau and now we're done with him. And it's like,
well, it's,
I just think that people had too high of expectations. Like, you know,
hold on, high of expectations from what?
Well, I read somebody on Twitter said that they were disappointed. Said that they were disappointed that there was no Marleau related giveaway.
Why would there be a Marleau related giveaway? He is not a member of the San Jose Sharks. Move on with your lives.
My point exactly.
No, I get it in one way that they were kind of maybe thinking about a giveaway, but. Again, you know, yeah, he's playing for an opposite team. I think you'll see the Marleau giveaway in about, 5 years when he's no longer in hockey. But
Marleau giveaway maybe at the end of his second year of his contract.
Oh, hey now. But I will, I would have expected, I mean, a guy who spends 20 years with the organization, has been the face of the franchise for quite some time, has, I mean, just about owns every Sharks record. I can see, I mean, fan favorite. I can see why they went through all the pomp and circumstance of it.
Let me ask you a question, because I know you'll know the answer to this. When Owen Nolan made his return to the tank, did they do anything? Or
I don't remember anything specific, but again, we're talking about a player who was traded here for, you know, a defenseman that was actually doing really well for the Sharks and Sandis Ozalinch.
Right.
And then, of course, if for those of you who don't remember, Owen Nolan traded from the Colorado Avalanche for Sandis Ozalinch. And if you remember, Sandis Ozalinch went on to win the Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche that season. So maybe Nolan was not in the, maybe not the happiest guy in the world to get moved over here. But he, you know, you're talking a guy that was traded versus a guy who was drafted, came up through the system, had been a lifelong Shark. Now, obviously, Nolan was also captain of the team for some time. But, you know, he left on not the best terms. I mean, there was talk about him and Ron Wilson not getting along. There was rumors of him being a cancer in the locker room. There was the whole then contentiousness when he did end up going to Toronto. So, to me, those are two really different things. If you'd compare it to anybody, I'd compare it to Nabokov. And,
sure,
and they did do something for Nabby, and Nabby was only here for about half the time that Marleau was.
Right. I only asked just because, you know, they're all, you know, in that same kind of category of, you know, fan favorite, you know what I mean?
Well, and as was Nabby. Nabby, big right. Fan favorite. So, yeah, I think the only one you could consider comparing Marleau to would be Nabby in the way that he came up through the system and was simply not signed and went with another team.
Sure.
So... we move on to...
Wait, are we going to talk about the actual game?
Oh, sure. Oh, were you not done?
Well,
go ahead. Go ahead. Give your Austin Matthews love a little bit.
Well, it was a nice goal. The last time the Maple Leafs played at SAP Center, I was...
12?
I had the pleasure to... sit with Miss Rocket Backhander, and Austin Matthews also scored that day too. So maybe he likes scoring in San Jose, according to Puck Guy. He is from the area.
San Ramon native,
allegedly. I feel like I've talked too much, so why doesn't Rocket say something?
Oh, you guys put me to sleep with your like tirade about Patty Marleau. Like, I seriously, you guys like lost me there. This was a fun game to watch just because I like watching Austin Matthews play hockey because he's kind of good at hockey. He's got a fun personality on the ice, and he doesn't – I don't know. Just between him and seeing other familiar faces out there like Roman Polak, it was a fun little tilt. They do have a massive amount of talent in their forwards, but their blue line needs help, and I'm happy for that because – without the depth, they're just kind of like a Canadian version of Dallas.
Ouch. Wow. Ouch,
that is ouch. An excellent take.
Thank you.
Oh, so with that, we move on to welcoming the Western Conference champion, Nashville Predators. The Sharks pull a 4-1 victory out of this one. And just kind of funny side note on this, coming into this game, the Preds were essentially in the same spot as the Sharks, you know, currently fifth in their division with 12 points. But this one was a physical affair. This felt playoff time. It was combined 64 hits in this game. Pavelski dropping his gloves versus Johansson.
That was weird.
For the first Sharks fight of the season, when everybody, of course, was banking on Dillon to get that. And then, of course, a little later in the game, Dillon tried to drop the gloves but was stopped by the refs. I don't know, man. Is Pavelski just, like, frustrated? Because so far, what, we've seen him, like, crack a stick on the net. I remember him kind of going off about something else, and now him getting into the first fight. I mean, Rocket. I mean, does this guy, like, need to get a little something-something? Or, what? I mean, what is going on?
No, everything is great. I think that the earlier frustration Pavs was showing and, you know, smacking his stick, that's completely acceptable. And for anybody who's in that spot, you know, they had that crummy post-cup year, and now they're ready to bounce back, and they just had a tough go getting their feet underneath them and trying to find the gears to really get started this season. I think that's natural to expect from somebody like that. For him to drop the gloves today, I think that also was natural. For him to do that, and that'd be the first fight of the season, that really only be like the something like the fourth or the sixth fight of his entire NHL career, that really speaks to his willingness to embrace the captaincy and really be the figurehead for the San Jose Sharks. You know, he isn't going to be the kind of captain that's like, well, we'll just leave that role to the enforcers and the rest of us will go and actually play hockey. Like it's a really good feeling to know that every guy on the line is ready to jump in, and we don't have any quote unquote goons out here. It's nice.
Yeah, there are times where I really miss an Owen Nolan type player as the captain of the Sharks, who was just great, you know, great player, you know, scored some incredible goals, but could also beat the living crap out of you. So I do miss that. Thornton gets ejected in this one after notching his 1400th point. I'd like to know what in the world he said to the officials in the final seconds of this one to get the boot. Donskoy trending up with another goal, opening the scoring once again twice in the last five games. And after following up versus that fantastic 14th time in franchise history, they don't take a single penalty. And this time, jerk, the Sharks, another parade to the box, just like in Madison Square Garden, eight times to the box. What is going on? And, I mean, hello?
We knew there was going to be an adjustment when the new rule about slashes on the hand and hooks and all this little flagrant stuff came about, but this is just getting ridiculous. Like,
and I did think some of these were kind of ticky-tacky.
Like, I'm almost wondering if the Sharks are like, yeah, we got the best penalty kill in the league. We don't give a crap, you know?
Evidently. I mean, but that, you got to admit, Hurdle got called for slashing it, and I was like, where?
Yeah, no, I thought the same exact thing as you did. I hope the penalties come down, because you don't want to be spending a majority of your time on the penalty kill, because then, you know, your best players aren't on the ice, unless you're Logan Couture. And, you know, the nice part about all this, like we've said, you know, tonight and in weeks past, the penalty kill has been dialed in, which has made up for the parade to the penalty box. But at the same time, if you want to be a playoff team, you need to get that trend bucked as early as possible.
Well, and I'm wondering if, I mean, it seems like every time the NHL makes a rule change, it's purposely to try to somehow goose scoring. And so far, what we've seen from the NHL in the first month, I don't know about you guys, so Rocket, I'll ask you first. I've gone through the scores over the last week or so and looked at, and I'm seeing a lot of Well, I shouldn't say a lot, but there's been some high-scoring games. I mean, we've seen 8-3, 8-4. We saw that colossal drubbing. What was it, like 10-1, Chicago over Pittsburgh? I mean, I remember a year ago, you'd see a 2-1 win, 1-1, and then overtime where a shootout winner, or maybe 3-2, and now I'm seeing games that 5-3, 6-2, mm-hmm. stuff
there
like that.
There was a game last year where I think, was it the Canadians? It's like a 10-0 loss, I think, to the Rangers or something. There have been a couple of 10-0 games, 10-2 games, at least over the last year or two that I've seen. So this is it's a trend. It's not new for this year. And it doesn't tend to happen towards the end of the year. Generally, this is a beginning of the year thing.
Oh, well, again, another thing we can watch for to see if the market corrects itself. Finishing off this game versus the Preds, my favorite new defenseman and yours, Timmy Heed, with another assist in this one. And Yoki Ryan gets his first NHL point with an assist on a goal from...
That's right, baby.
The only person, of course, getting the Sharks on the board during the power play is our power play specialist, Mark Edward Vlasic. I think that's like the third power play goal of his life. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea what it is, but I can't imagine that number is terribly high. The PK stays hot again, going 4-for-4 on this one. But the one thing I do kind of want to ask before we leave this one, I watched this game on TV. I actually, because I had a couple things that I had to take care of, so I wasn't going to be able to actually get to the game, but I would be able to watch it. Watching this game on TV was deflating to me because this might have been one of the emptiest times. I mean, one of the times where I've seen the SAP Center be the emptiest I have ever seen it on TV. And what even drove that point home is I had no less than 4 people offer me tickets to the game yesterday, 2 of them for a severely discounted price, and the other 2 offered them to me for free. So, I mean, Jerk, did this seem like kind of an empty game to you?
Yeah, it did. I mean, every time they would, you know, whether they were advertising, you know, their little Safeway thing or just, you know, coming back from a commercial or whatever, you could see huge empty spots in the seats. And, you know, my first inclination is like, wow, look at all those seats I could be sitting in while while here I am at home watching this on my TV.
Right. And I was wondering, I'm like, are there this many people in the Bay Area that are Sharks fans, but they're not doing it because they're watching Game 7 of the World Series? I don't think so.
I think that definitely played a role into it because...
Really?
I think so. I mean, a lot of people, and this is kind of the irrational sports fan kind of mindset, you know, you have the Dodgers in the World Series, and a lot of people are Giants fans. I have to imagine a lot of Giants fans took solace in seeing the Dodgers lose.
True
that. Not only that, but there's also, you know, all kinds of real life disaster stuff that's still going on with Houston, and obviously, that's a huge emotional and moral win for them. So I think that contributes to it. I think the game that's this coming up on this weekend at the time of recording, I think it'll be more filled up. I don't think it'll be a sellout, but I definitely think...
Oh, I don't know. Star Wars night, buddy.
Okay, maybe it'll be a sellout. and people do love their Star Wars.
That's true.
Well, but... I mean, we just saw, I don't understand what was going on. And Rocket, I think I forwarded you something that talked about how, like, Bridgestone is, like, the best thing to, like, happen to sports on the planet.
But according to ESPN, and as we all know, ESPN is the farthest thing from the authority on the NHL. So as far as that goes, that's like a Fox News report about something that they have no business reporting. It's just fake. That's a bunch of BS. They're not talking to hockey fans because hockey fans don't enjoy hockey at Bridgestone. People that want to go to Bridgestone go there because they want to buy some beer and some brisket nachos and
that sounds good.
Go look at a whole bunch of overpriced yellow stuff and then get to chant, you know, you suck at the opposing team.
And just looking for someone to blame, baby. It's all your fault.
Yeah. That's it.
With any luck, the Sharks will increase their capacity a little bit with Anaheim coming to town. I mean, that I got to admit, that was there was a lot of people talking about it on social media and whatnot. Just could not believe, like, you know, a few comments saying, you know, Jesus, Halloween tonight and everybody dressed as an empty chair at SAP. I mean, it was bad. But
well, and I think, too, like in going on that, I'm pretty sure I saw Kevin Kurz say on Twitter, like, oh, yeah, I bet all 12,000 people enjoyed that Pavelski fight or something.
I think
like
he said 14,000.
No, he said 12.
I think it was 14.
Something else I want to point out, too. Quick fun fact before we move on. The game against Nashville, Joakim Ryan set a franchise record for most blocks in a single game with 9. So
holy crap, he was probably really sore today.
Okay, so that is the perfect segue. So now we go to Shark Bites. There has been recent speculation, reporting, whatever you want to call it, that Paul Martin, Mikael Botker, and Chris Tierney might be reportedly on the trade block. There's speculation that Wilson is shopping them. Has the success of Ryan and Heed potentially made Martin and or DeMello expendable? I mean, is one of those two guys, I mean, we all know that Jerk has pontificated, forecast that DeMello will be moved in February for a fourth round pick, and I do look forward to that pick. But, I mean, I'm sorry, Ryan is looking more and more comfortable every game with Brent Burns out there. I think the only reason, you know, Rocket, do you think, like, the whole, like, it almost feels like Paul Martin's only kind of defense at this point, when you consider obviously his age and his contract, that he could sit there and go, well, yeah, Ryan's been okay, but has Burns scored any more with him than he has with me this season?
Yeah, but Ryan's not banged up, beat up, and old, Paul. No, he's see, this is what happens if you don't get a burrito with me. If you
that's what it is. Ryan eats burritos, damn it.
He eats burritos. And if I had asked him, yo, hey, Joakim Ryan, would you like to get a burrito with me? He'd be like, yeah, sure, let's do it. I'm like, all right, cool, fist bump. And then everything would be fine. But since Paul Martin decided that burritos are just, you know, so far beneath him, this is what you get. Oh. No, I think that he's not on the chopping block just yet, because I think it's a really bad idea to put all your defensive eggs in one basket at the beginning of the season, 12 games in, and be like, everything is fine. And you saw how hard-hitting the Predators were, because they got an inch of desperation, and they're probably still real tired. There's a real short offseason. And you think Ryan Ellis is still out with injuries, a bunch of other junk. There are other teams within the league that have that kind of desperation with only a quarter of the talent. So, of course, they're going to lay the body a lot more, because they can't play the puck with the finesse that, you know, some other teams can. They're just going to have to get used to this, ride the wave of injuries, as we always do, and hope that everybody, the right everybody's, are in good shape when playoffs comes around. So it depends really on how healthy everyone else can keep themselves. That's... You know, so Paul Martin is the one who's creeping around everybody's room with like a crowbar, just ready to whack him in the ankle if he needs to.
Ouch. Damn. Well, I mean, we also saw in the Nashville game that Vlasic the dude got his bell rung, maybe out for a game or two. They're speculating that Martin could be back on Saturday versus Anaheim. Might not be until following game versus Tampa Bay. Jerk, could you imagine a world where you have Ryan and Burns and Braun and DeMello and Heed and Dylan? Or I guess it would probably be Dylan and Braun and DeMello and Heed. I mean, how do you project the defensive pairs to be on Saturday versus Anaheim?
Well, I think if Vlasic cannot go on Saturday, I think you are crossing your fingers that Paul Martin can go. But even then, Paul Martin hasn't played for 10 games, so you don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in. It's a tough one. I still think you have – I mean, obviously, you have to have Ryan and Burns log most of your minutes. But
– yeah, it's going to be some tough pairings.
I still think you keep – I still think you have to keep Brendan Dillon and Tim Heed together, because something's working there.
Yeah.
And that forces you to play DeMello and Braun, which, you know, goes against the
forces
left,
of
right,
life, and yeah,
right, goes against the left, right, you know, necessity. But this, I mean, you gotta make, you know, you gotta make sacrifices when it comes to stuff like this. And I think, you know, if the Sharks are probably gonna rely on the Ryan Burns pair and the Dylan Heed pair, especially if Vlasic can't go, and especially if Paul Martin can't go.
Yeah. Well, and then getting to the other players that were mentioned on the trade block, I mean, Mikhail Botker, obviously, I am not a fan. The guy seriously underperformed last season. Is doing okay this season. We'll see, but for what his expectations were, the way it was sold to Sharks fans, oh, this speedy guy, he's going to be the answer to the Sharks' prayers, and he's going to make up that napkin line, that second line of Couture and Bodker and Donskoy. That's just going to be amazing, and so far that has not turned to fruition. However, putting Hurdle with Couture, on the other hand, has worked out glorious. But my thing is, Tierney, if he is on the block, who centers that third line, Jerk? Because Hurdle has shown too much success on the wing, and if Tierney was moved, it almost makes me wonder, is this Doug Wilson's way of telling Pete DeBoer, we want Hurdle at center?
That's very possible, and I think you could probably see that happen, you know, where DeBoer doesn't have another choice and he has to put Hurdle back at center. But
dude, this is so reminiscent. Did you see the movie Moneyball?
Parts of it, yes.
Okay, well, but there was a thing in there that there was, what, you know, the manager wanted to play a specific lineup, and you know, the GM was like, no, we want to play this guy, and the manager of the team, you know, essentially the coach in hockey, says, you know, look, I put together the roster. That's my job. So I'm going to play these guys. And the GM got fed up and traded away the guys that he liked playing. And it just very, very much reminded me of Moneyball. But anyway, you were saying?
Well, and if you recall too, 2 years ago, the reason that James Shepherd was traded was to allegedly play Hurdle at center, even though he saw zero games at center after that trade.
Oh, I thought it was just because Shepherd sucked. But anyway, you...
Well, you can't come out and say that, obviously, but we all know that that's the reason. but, I mean, I could also see the Sharks get adventurous and call up Danny O'Regan to play center on the third line. But even then, Danny O'Regan, as good as he is, as talented as he is, he's going to run into the same problem Chris Tierney had, where he's going to be with... You know, he'll be with Timo Meier or Mikhail Bodker, which is a good player to have on your line because they both are speedy players who can shoot the puck. But, you know, there's always that mindset of getting stuck with a Joel Ward or a Yannick Hansen, who have been liabilities this year. So,
yes. Well, and let me ask you this. You, as a follower of the CUDA, was there chemistry shown between O'Regan and LeBanc or O'Regan and Meier?
It's hard because LeBanc and Meier kind of flipped back and forth on O'Regan's line throughout the season, so it's hard to say.
My bad.
hard to say who he had more chemistry with, but, you know, kind of to change the subject in a very minuscule way, I'm kind of peeved that we haven't seen Barkley Goodrow with Ryan Carpenter more this season, because Barkley Goodrow and Ryan Carpenter, you know, were inseparable on the Barracuda for the last 2 years. And I think...
Here comes Rocket to tell you, PDB doesn't want to play youth, and he has painted Goodrow's doghouse a new color already.
No. Right. No, I wasn't going to say that. I was just saying, you know, well, they would still be together if Barkley Goodrow hadn't, you know, kicked Pete's dog. That's just... Now he's stuck eternally holding the door. That's it.
And as wild as this sounds, I think you put the two of them together on the fourth line with Yannick Hansen, I think that would be a pretty interesting fourth line.
Interesting.
I mean, I think it's worth at least taking a look at, especially, I mean, they might be forced to take a look at it if either of these, you know, reported trades actually make something, you know, if that ends up happening. We do know that the Sharks have just under $6 million in the cap to make a play for somebody. So we'll see what happens. And with that, we move on to our three stars of the week, or what we call...
Oh, good for you!
And as always, we start with Mr. Jerk, your third star.
My third star of the week is the coach, Mr. Peter DeBoer, for, as Rocket said earlier, not using the line blender and allowing the lines, which have gelled pretty well the last three or four games, to continue to gel. And I hope that the line blender stays far, far, far away in the cupboard for as long as possible.
Dude, when you said PDB, I almost pulled a Brody on you. I was like, what? My third star of the week is Jonas Donskoy. 5 points in his last 7 games, including 4 goals, 2 goals that opened scoring for the Sharks, and obviously grabbing the apple. But dude is trending up and is starting to resemble the guy that we saw 2 seasons ago. So third star for you, Jonas. Rocket, your third.
My third star goes to Mark Edward Vlasic for being the defensive defenseman and quietly doing a huge part to keep the offensive production for the visiting team down.
Hey, now. And so we move on to our second. And my second star is going to be Tim Heed. Dude, I am loving you right now. 7 points in your last 8 games. I mean, just looking like you belong in a huge way. I'm excited about this kid. I think this guy could be like, I mean, obviously he's not going to, he doesn't have the size or the big butt of Brent Burns, but the kid has a cannon, and I look forward to just, oh, God, I just like watching this kid play, and I hope that he's really able to have an impact on the power play as the season goes on. So, Timmy Heed, you get my second. Rocket?
My second star goes to Timo Meier, who continues to impress me with the grit and aggression that they're looking for, and also the, what's the word I'm looking for, the enduring patience to not just clock somebody's head clear off their shoulders, because I know
could have happened against Nashville.
Oh yeah, he could have definitely opened up a can of whoop ass on these guys. Like, it, I'm glad he didn't. Everyone else on the team is glad he didn't, but to have him out there, I just really am more on this kid's team every time I watch him. So Timo Meier, second star.
I don't know if they're more glad he didn't or more surprised he didn't, but Hockey Jerk, your second.
My second star is also going to be Tim Heed, because he has come up into the Sharks, probably going to be the 7th defenseman, and he's like, no, I'm going to be the 6th defenseman. And we're like, okay, dude, all right, whatever you want. And then they're like, oh, we're going to put you on the 2nd power play unit. And he's like, no, I'm going to be on the 1st unit, and I'm going to drive that son of a bitch. And now he is winning the hearts of Mr. AJ Strong, which is always happy. A happy AJ is a happy podcast.
It's true.
Not only that, but it's allowing Sharks fans who don't follow the Barracuda, and not that there's anything wrong with that, to get exposure to the fun little quirky things that us Barracuda fans like Rocket and myself come up with, like hashtag Howitzer Heed, like death taxes and Tim Heed primary assists. So it's been a fun little ride, and I hope he continues it.
Hashtag feed Heed. We like that. In fact, I've already decided that Tim Heed, I've been looking at the new Adidas jersey, which we will get into here in a minute. But I was looking at that jersey thinking, it looks too much like the old one. Why would I want that? Well, you know why? Because it has to be a Heed jersey. That's his, basically his inaugural sweater. So, Timmy, this one's for you. That's right. Timmy. And we move on with our number one star of the week, and we start with you, Rocket.
My number one star of the week has to go to Brendan Dillon. Sorry, it has to. And if you can't figure out why, other than me being a complete fangirl, you're not a real Sharks fan, AJ.
All right. Hockey Jerk, how about your number one? Beat that.
My number one star is Jonas Donskoy for recovering from the ailment of all ailments. That was two separated shoulders and a broken foot. And
AKA the sophomore slump.
Yes, the Donskoy flu, if you will. And now he's come in and multiple games on the season, he's been the Sharks' best player. And like you said, AJ, he's starting to look like the Donskoy from the playoffs 2 years ago, where he could take over a game by himself. And if he can look like even half of what he looked like in that Stanley Cup playoff year, then my God, this team will not be missing Patrick Marleau.
Donskoy flu just doesn't roll off the tongue like Timo Nucleosis, but I will take it. My number one star, of course, this week, Marty Jones. Dude looked not good in those first two games versus Philly and LA. Got yanked in the LA game, if you remember, but over the course of the last five has put up a .950 save percentage. I mean, and I don't think, let me go back five games, one, two, three, five. That doesn't even count the shutout that he got in New Jersey. So it does, because Dell got the Islanders start. So sorry, my bad. But dude, .950 save percentage over the last five. Keep it coming, Marty. Just keep it coming, man. So with that, we close the book on three stars of the week, or what we like to say is...
Oh, good for you!
And now, I venture on to ask Rocket, shall we play which one to just let everybody know what time it is?
Which one do we play? All right, it's going to have to be the Cucaracha.
Oh, no. Let me see. No, I'm sorry. That just doesn't have the same kind of, you know, here we go.
That's a good one.
So we actually got a little someone sliding into our DMs this week asking about the difference between Fanatics jerseys and Authentics and kind of, you know, the good and the bad of I'm just going to say right now, real quick, there is no good when it comes to the Fanatics ones. These replicas, they're not good. When I saw that, look at the photos, for Christ's sake. I mean, even the stitching doesn't look correct. When you looked at replica Reeboks versus authentic Reeboks, there was a noticeable difference. I mean, the material felt a little heavier. There was just, I don't know. Plus, obviously, embroidered patches and everything like that. Now that we're into the Adizero, you know, Adidas jersey phase, I'm sorry, kids. These Authentics just, it's a no-go. Not to mention the fact that the ones that I've seen that are plated look like nobody is paying attention on the plating. The letters are, they're not aligned correctly with the patch or something like that. And now, Hockey Jerk, I think you haven't bought an Authentic or a Fanatics one yet, have you?
Well, being a broke college student, I am not allowed these luxuries.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. But, wow, way to make me feel like an asshole.
No, but I've seen I've seen the Sharks ones, I've seen the Dallas Stars ones, I've seen Nashville ones, and it is hard. It's hard to notice the difference. And
between Fanatics and Authentics?
Well, from the front. From the back is a different story. From the front they look pretty similar. From the back it's I don't know. I mean,
because the Fanatics ones don't have the dimples in the shoulders, right?
I have no idea.
To correct. Me, that's... Yeah.
That's the biggest thing right there. The necklines and the Fanatics are a little bit more forgiving. The necklines and the Adidas jerseys, those collars are really tight.
Yeah. And so... And which I had said, you know, earlier when I have... You know, because I have a replica Stadium Series jersey, which is kind of, you know, the template that the Adidas ones are based on when you look at the neckline. But for me, the bigger thing, of course, too, is... When you look at what the price points were between replicas and authentics, replicas for Reeboks were like, I want to say like a 180-ish, somewhere in there. Correct me if I'm wrong. And almost 300 for an authentic. And we're talking, these are blank. They don't have a name and number on them. Am I wrong on those numbers by any chance?
That sounds right to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I was in the ballpark. Now, with this switch to Fanatics and Authentics, you can get an authentic jersey. Now, not plated right now, but an authentic jersey is like, what does it go for at the store? Jerk, I know you've been in the store once or twice and you probably looked at it. I mean, what, like 180 or something? 200?
Is it 190 or something?
I think 190.
So like, okay. So,
but basically not 300.
Exactly. You're talking, you know, over $100 less than what an authentic used to cost you. But the bigger thing is the separation between the cost of a replica and the cost of an authentic. And what's the cost of a Fanatics one? What do those run for? I mean, Rocket, we know you know what you do for a living. All she does is troll hockey stores, people, and like look at prices of jerseys.
It's, I mean, true, because I like to find stuff on eBay for as cheap as I can, and then I just make everyone feel miserable.
Right? So, but I mean, like, what are the costs of Fanatics jerseys? If authentics are like 185, 190, what are Fanatics, like 140?
Kind of, yeah.
So why not spend the extra $50 and just go, you know, it's the huge difference.
Because some people balk at that. Some people balk at that because you're looking at another, so if it's a blank jersey and you want to get it customized, you're looking at buying the blank jersey, and then you're looking at paying either $80 for an iron-on or $100 for, well, it's 90, but like, you know, $90 for a sewn-on kit.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on what grade of lettering you get, either from Stahl's or Crystal Palace or something, like depending on what you want, like you can get really authentic with it, get the same kind of dry weave stuff that the guys on the ice get, or you can just get the Stahl's letter kit that looks like it's sewn on, but it actually is ironed on. Like, you know, there's, it depends on your options. I think if you just want to get a blank jersey and get a really nice blank jersey and not get it lettered or anything else, get an Adidas, whatever, no big deal, especially if you like the way that they fit, or if you're a label connoisseur. Yeah, I don't want to use that word, but if you are a fan that it must be label or nothing at all, then that's your bag. But I think Fanatics is offering a fairly good replica option with a little bit of a lower ticket price, not only in men's but also in youth, women's, like a whole across the board. But it just seems like it'll make people feel like they are saving money because they're spending $30 less on a jersey, but they're gonna pay $80 to have something put on the back of it. So they're only actually paying $50 for the lettering on the back. See what I mean?
Yeah, I look at it and I just go, you know what? When the price point, when there's that small of a difference, just get the real one. It's and what's funny is that it just reminds me of different types of products where there were checkered laceless shoes. And then there were Vans, and they might have looked exactly like the knockoff tag, but they didn't have the little tag that said Vans. And right now, that's kind of how the new jersey is, where it has to have those three lines on the back of the neck collar. You know, that's Adidas. It's the authentic one. But because, I don't know, I just look at it, and the Fanatics one, I can tell, like, immediately if it's Fanatics or Authentics. Couldn't tell it so quickly with the Reebok-style ones. But anyway, keeping in line with jerseys, Team Canada, USA, everybody else is going to participate in the Olympics, released their jerseys this week. And a lot of love and a lot of, not a lot of people kind of like down the middle of the road on these designs, people. It's either love or hate, but welcome to, you know, planet Earth. That's pretty much the way it is every time something new is released upon us. They, you know, it's either, oh, it's the best thing in the world, or this sucks. Could nobody come up with a better option? I'm going to go on record right now, Hockey Jerk. I really like this Team Canada jersey. I'm not going to lie. Now, do I like it better than the World Cup one? I'd have to put them both together in the same room, but I like it. And everybody seems to be complaining about these kind of weird, jagged pattern sleeves or something. I mean, what are you feeling about these jerseys?
Well,
as a jersey connoisseur,
I was going to say, I have we moved on to jersey jargon? Somebody call Puck Guy. He's probably Puck Guy if you're auditing this. The jerseys are evidently inspired by the World Cup ones, which is why, you know, Team Canada, the leaf on the front had that different look to it than what's been seen in the past. And, you know, I know, I don't know if you guys are really big, like, wrestling fans, but I know the sleeves, that weird diamond sleeve, and it reminded me of a particular wrestler, Jeff Hardy, who would have, like, armbands with, like, rainbow slits in them, and it was the weirdest thing. But I'm, you know, they're, it's a jersey that's going to be worn for a couple international tournaments, but after that, it's going to be retired, just like it's always been for international tournaments. I don't think it's worth losing sleep over. At the same time, I do think some of the, especially Team Canada and Team USA, some of the jerseys that were worn, say, 2006, 2010, probably should have stuck around a little longer than they did.
I'll give you that, but I don't know. I got to be honest, I kind of like these. I really like the thing that always bums me out every time this happens, I always like the Canada ones far more than the USA ones. I mean, Rocket, have you seen these? I mean, are you a hater, or are you thinking, oh, these are nice sweaters?
I haven't seen them, and frankly, I don't care. Well, it's not going to affect the tournament play outcome whatsoever, one bit or another. So, I mean, I think I've seen maybe a photograph of the, I don't know if it was the United States one or the Canada one, but it looked sort of like a Star Trek font, and I really liked it. So,
oh, that was USA, I bet.
Yeah, bonus points for being different. I definitely like that. And aside from that, they're kind of boring, which is what you want in a uniform.
To a certain extent. I don't know. I like them. The one thing I will say that, and obviously this is just fun, I don't know, just a fun observation, and clearly showing that NHL has a deal with Adidas and the Olympics have a deal with Nike, because these are actually Nike sweaters, but they look cut like out of zero one. So anyway, moving on really quickly. The Vegas Golden Knights now have more injured goalies signed to NHL contracts than they have healthy ones. Just a fun fact, kids. The other fun fact, Arizona has won a hockey game.
Yay!
Don't know if you noticed that.
Finally.
Yeah. Almost an entire month went by without them winning a hockey game, so they've won. So, as Christian Bale would say,
oh, good for you!
And so, of course, now we move on to previews and predictions. Short week, again, mentioning this sparse schedule. It is amazing. So, only two games between now and the next episode of the Pucknologist. So, we see Anaheim and Tampa Bay both come to the tank. For those of you who are unaware, Ryan Getzlaf just went on injured reserved. So, they'll again be missing a, I don't know that they probably, I can't imagine that they have like a bald quotient that they have to hit, but clearly this is not helping them. Tampa Bay right now are just killing it in the NHL, tied with the Blues for best in the NHL at 21 points. So those two teams coming in, I'm not aware, however, of course, of Tampa Bay and their bald players. So Rocket, I would go to you first. We have Anaheim, then Tampa Bay. What do you think is going to happen in these two tilts?
We're going to beat the Finns into Quackenheim. Yeah, we're going to beat the Finns into Quackenheim.
Do you understand the name of the San Jose Barracuda mascot, right?
Fintas. No, isn't his name Barracuda?
No, it's Frenzy.
Frenzy.
But before Barracuda came out here, it was the Worcester Sharks.
Yeah.
And their mascot name was Finns.
Finns. All right. So the Sharks are just going to beat the feet off of Anaheim. They're gonna chop off their little webbed duck feet. And so then they're just going to flop around in the water, not do much, and bleed. And then some shark is going to get them and eat them for lunch. Anaheim. Sharks going to win. Tampa Bay, I think that Sharks are going to lose, but it's not going to be out of frustration or anything the Sharks are doing wrong. I think that Tampa will generally just run them.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you on that one. Hockey Jerk versus Anaheim versus Tampa Bay.
So whenever the Sharks play Anaheim, it's always either a really close score or the Sharks win by multiple goals. And I'm thinking that this game against the Ducks, they're going to win by multiple goals, especially with no Ryan Getz left. So you should look for the Sharks to win 4-0, with that fourth goal being in severe garbage time.
Dude, I like how Hockey Jerk is just kind of like, dude, you just dialed it in there for a second. Where it's like, yeah, I look for them to win it by 4 goals. You can take that to the bank. Go to your nearest casino and put down 100 on that one.
Go to your nearest Great Western Bank and make a deposit.
Yeah, always there for you.
Sponsor.
Wow, you guys are never going to let that go.
And I know, it's like being in June in Vancouver.
And then
no, but it's but it's an away game.
What?
And then Tampa Bay, you know, tied for first in the league, which is where I thought they should have been last year. So the fact that they're there this year makes me seem like I'm at least 30% credible. I think the Sharks are going to lose, and they're going to lose 3-1, and Steven Stamkos is going to have all 3 goals.
Wow. I'm going to, I got to tell you, I'm a little conflicted with this Anaheim game because it's weird. When Anaheim comes here, like you said, it's like a super tight game or the Sharks win by multiple goals. I have to factor in that I don't think Mark Edward Vlasic is going to play in this one. So that makes me a little tilting. I think this might be actually one of those one-goal games. So I'm going to say Sharks 3, Anaheim 2. And for Tampa, the logic says Tampa's going to win this 4-2. But I just take into account that each time the Sharks have played a team that has been doing well, they've beaten them. I mean, they beat Boston, they beat Toronto, or Boston, what the hell am I talking about? I'm sorry, New Jersey. I'm like, what the hell am I talking about? But they beat New Jersey, they beat Toronto. I mean, they've beat teams that have come in that were doing well. I'm calling it. I'm saying the next two games, Sharks are going to win them both without Vlasic. Take that, haters. So... So, Hockey Jerk, where can the people find you, and do you have any last words?
You can follow me on Twitter at @hockey_jerk. The Vegas Golden Knights have allowed Vadim Shipachev to go back to Russia, which means I will have to find something new about their franchise to complain about. But fear not, friends, fans, and loved ones, there will be something I can complain about. Back to you, AJ.
And it doesn't start with that mascot, but I digress.
You mean the love child of the Geico Gecko and Barney?
No, that's Barney and the Thing from Fantastic Four, and that's what it shall always be.
That's a good one.
Rocket, where can the people locate you, and do you have any last words?
My name is Rocket Backhand. You can find me taking photographs of my life as a Sharks fan here in Nashville on Instagram. That's Rocket Backhand, or one word. You can also find me complaining generally about hockey calls, hockey fans, why people like to refer to the color yellow as gold here when it's clearly yellow. And I don't know, the amount of legal left-hand turns that take place in Nashville is enough to choke a plow horse. So, yeah. It's a capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76 on the Twitter machine. Yeah. Good luck.
And as always, on Twitter and Instagram, I am at @AJ_strong. And I didn't do the big spiel at the end or at the beginning, so we'll do it at the end. It's like June in Vancouver, Vancouver in June, one of those. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Thanks for checking us out. Do us a favor. Follow us on Twitter at Pucknologist. Hey, throw us a like, throw us a tweet, slide into our DMs, give us a review. We're all good with that. Thanks again for listening. We will see you all again next week for show 31.